Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Trump administration signed a new reciprocal trade agreement with Bangladesh this week, opening the door to expanded ag exports into one of South Asia's fastest growing consumer markets. President Donald Trump and U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer framing the deal as a step toward correcting trade imbalances while creating new demand for American farm and ranch products. Now, under the agreement, Bangladesh will provide preferential market access for U.S. ag goods. That includes wheat, soy products, cotton, corn, dairy, beef, poultry, and tree nuts. U.S. officials say the commitments are backed by science-based sanitary standards and recognition of U.S. regulatory certifications, which reduce non-tariff barriers that have historically limited trade. Commercial commitments tied to the agreement include approximately $3.5 billion in planned purchases of U.S. ag products, supporting demand for feed grains, oil seeds, fiber, and animal protein. Bangladesh also linking zero tariff access for certain apparel exports to the use of U.S. produced cotton and textile inputs. Now, the agreement will move through final domestic procedures before taking effect in the coming weeks. Tyson Foods reporting mixed first quarter results for fiscal 2026 with strong demand in chicken and prepared foods offset by ongoing pressure in beef. Company said shifting protein supplies and tighter cattle inventories will shape market conditions through the year. Tyson posting first quarter sales of $14.3 billion, up just over 5% from a year earlier, while adjusted operating income declined as beef losses weighed on overall margins. Management said chicken volumes posted their fifth straight quarter of year-over-year gains. It reflects continued consumer demand and market share expansion. Well, looking ahead, Tyson expects beef production to fall about 2%. This year, driving an anticipated operating loss of $250 to $500 million for the segment as cattle supplies remain tight. Pork production projected to increase about 2%, operating income expected between $250 and $300 million. Chicken, though, remains the strongest performer, Tyson projecting $1.65 billion to $1.9 billion in operating income on modest production growth. Economic growth across the Federal Reserve's 9th District continued in 2025, but ag remained a weak spot as lower commodity prices, high cost, and trade uncertainty weighed on farm states. It was a key takeaway from discussions at the Minneapolis Fed's Regional Economic Conditions Conference held last month. While overall gross domestic product expanded, growth was uneven, often volatile. In states like North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana, ag played a central role in shaping economic outcomes, though not always positively. Farm profitability remains under pressure from depressed prices, elevated input costs, and high land rents. Looking ahead, conference participants said ag's performance will remain closely tied to price recovery and export stability. It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The USDA projects that net farm income will slip lower in 2026 and remain about $48 billion under the record highs of 2022. Danny Munch, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says farmers and ranchers are looking at a generational downturn.
USDA projects net farm income at about $153 billion in 2026 and about $1.2 billion down from last year's revised number. Production expenses are estimated to reach a record level at $477.7 billion. Livestock receipts are expected to decline $17 billion. Crop receipts are expected to stay about even, but are still below break-even prices for farmers.
Munch says the farm income picture looks much different than the last time USDA made a projection in September 2025.
We haven't had a picture of the 2025 net farm income number for a while. The biggest surprise from this report is how much weaker 2025 turned out to be. USDA revised their 2025 net farm income number down $25 billion compared to its original forecast. So moving from $180 billion that they forecasted in September for the year to just over $154 billion.
The problems with the farm economy have been well documented, but Munch says there are some potential solutions on the table.
Farmers need stronger market returns, so income comes from selling commodities, not that aid. And that means improving farm safety net through a fully passed farm bill, strengthening trade and demand, and addressing rising inputs. And we need more durable policy fixes, or the financial situation for rural America is going to continue to deteriorate.
New data from U.S. court filings indicate farm bankruptcy has risen again. Samantha Ayoub, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the data paints a stark picture of the farm economy.
Chapter 12 bankruptcies increased for the second year in a row in 2025, reaching 315 filings. That's up 46% from 2024. That second increase in a row shows that the farm economy, as we've been talking about, is really struggling and excessive debt loads are starting to hit family farms.
Ayoub notes that farm bankruptcies are not a perfect indicator of the farm economy since the data often lags behind real farm finances.
When you have some good years, that capital might be able to get you through a few downturns. We know we've seen declining receipts for 4 years now, and we're just starting to see that second year in a row of increases in bankruptcies. And then secondly, a majority of farms actually don't qualify for Chapter 12 farm bankruptcies. In order to qualify, you have to make the majority of your family income from farming.
Additionally, Ayoub cautions that only a small number of farms are even eligible for Chapter 12 bankruptcy to begin with. However, many farms are in difficult financial situations.
We are seeing our fourth year in a row of declining cash receipts driven largely by crop losses, as well as high-cost specialty crop production really facing negative or very thin margins, even some of our livestock receipts and markets weakening a bit. All of that compounds to a very difficult situation when we're also seeing increasing production costs.
Chad Smith, Washington.
And we end looking at pork. Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago.
Really, it's a factor on the bull side of the equation, the limited feeder pig supplies. You got the firm cash hog prices, like I mentioned. Similar seasonal demand expectations, improving consumptions expected, you know, into the spring and early summer. Then you've got the stable to improving export demand. That's helping things on the bull side of the equation. And then feed cost stability. And then working against that, in brief here, you got the large hog slaughter levels, heavy front end supplies. That's working its way into the marketplace, but so far being absorbed. And then you've got sensitivity to the consumer price resistance, which we'll always be keeping an eye out for. So far so good on the pork market sustaining the gains that it's seen, especially relative to the beef prices being at those lofty levels. So we'll see how this plays out over the next week or two.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
It's going to mirror what happened last year, if not worse.
Vice President of Fertilizer at StoneX, Josh Linville.
Last year, when you look at China, again, your global leading phosphate exporter, typically 8 to 10 million tons per year. Last year, they only exported just a little over 5 million tons. From January until May of 2025, they didn't exist. Now, fortunately, those 5.5 million tons that were exported happened from June until December. So everything that we have from the China marketplace so far right now is that they won't return until August of 26, the earliest. So if last year was bad, this year would be worse. Presuming they hold to this, we'll wait and see what happens after the Chinese New Year. And then you start to look at the cost. We know anhydrous prices are very, very high. We've also been seeing sulfur prices ratcheting higher as well. This has actually come to a point in time where even though the phosphate price is very high, well, so too is the cost of production. We've seen an SSP facility in Brazil that's been taken offline. They're not making any money. And so the plant is saying, if we're not going to make money, we'll just shut down until the market conditions improve. People that use DAP and MAP may sit there and say, well, I don't care. I don't use SSP. Those are still phosphate units that are being lost to the world. So not only do we have the largest exporter in the world scaling back significantly for the better part of 2026, we're also challenging current values with cost of production. So even if we saw a situation where prices were to start falling globally, I think very, very quickly we'll start to see manufacturers back off and say, we're going to lower our production rates. We're going to stop our production rates until we're back to making money again. We're not going to use our finite supply of phosphate rock to produce something at a loss. So these rates were put into place officially early 2021, spring of 2021, and there was a five-year sunset review. That is coming up very, very quickly. And we know that with some of the officials, the way that they've been talking about it, we had the Agricultural Deputy Secretary Vaden came out and started talking about the duopoly that he sees for the phosphate in the potash marketplace. This is the first time I can tell you that we've seen multiple officials talking about fertilizer like this, and it does raise the hope that we will see this countervailing duty done away with. The factors that made sense to put this in place in early 2021, we no longer feel are in place today. The global market for phosphate is just completely different. Supplies are very, very tight. So if we can get rid of these duties, that allows Russia to come here. That allows Morocco to come here. That does help our inventories. But for that camp that's sitting there saying, oh, this is going to correct phosphate prices significantly lower, we are already seeing NOLA back in line with a lot of the world pricing, which is what we would normally historically see. If we start to move to a decent discount, you're going to start seeing phosphate inventories be shipped globally, exported, and all of a sudden our S&D tightens and we get drawn right back into the world market. So again, this does help our supply. This helps to get more supply routes coming in here. Maybe that helps alleviate some of the DAPMAP pressure price differentials that we've seen. But overall, this is not the silver bullet that we want. It is a help, and it's definitely something we'd love to see. But at the end of the day, it does not solve the global S&D issue that we have. Looking at the numbers last week, to close out last week, urea, NOLA, 60 higher. UAN, 60 higher. DAP and MAP were $30 and $70 higher. Potash remains the only input, major fertilizer input, that's decently priced. It's only $7 higher year over year, which is why we continue to be surprised when government officials call out the potash market. It's literally the only only fertilizer we've seen that's acting quote unquote correctly. Those grain differentials I looked at, corn is 9 cents lower today than last year. Beans are 33 cents. Wheat, Chicago wheat, 55 cents. So your average North America farmer is spending far more of their bushels to pay for that same fertilizer. And it's already a hard financial year. 2025 was hard. 2026 is worse. And fertilizer is doing it absolutely no favor. So I don't know that we're going to see nitrogen cutbacks. There's a very direct correlation. You lower your nitrogen application, you're going to have an effect on yield. Phosphate, potash, if a farmer's got to make a cut, those are two of the first places they're going to look. And that's something we're going to be watching very, very closely over the next 45 to 60 days.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Mexico corn production down a bit this month. That is an area adjustment for their winter crop. And that reflects constraints on irrigation availability. So expecting to see less area planted there because of that. And then the change in the European Union that is actually focused on France, a small increase there based on harvest results.
Chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board, Dr. Mark Jackanowski, looking at the global balance sheet for corn.
Feed use up a bit. I'll focus here mainly on trade. Global trade raised 1.4 million tons. That is mainly an increase in the U.S., which we'll talk about on the next slide a bit, partially offset by lower corn exports from Ukraine. Our Ukraine corn export forecast, we lowered 1 million tons down to 22 million tons. And basically that reflects some internal logistics challenges based on damage from infrastructure damage due to the ongoing conflict there, making it hard to get corn to the port and therefore constraining their exports to some degree. On the other hand, globally, corn imports were raised for Turkey, Lebanon, Mexico, and Iran. That is reflected in that higher feed use for those countries in particular, partially offset by lower feed use in the EU because of reduced imports from Ukraine. Global ending stocks tighten up a bit. This month, mainly tighter stocks in the U.S., partially offset by higher stocks in Ukraine. All right, let's move into soybean. Soybean production globally up 2.5 million tons, and that all reflects increased production forecasts for Brazil and Paraguay. That whole region, Brazil and Paraguay, very favorable conditions, growing conditions this year. So we're looking at higher yields. And in Brazil, also looking at higher area based on state-level reporting in Brazil. So combined, Brazil and Paraguay increases in both add up to 2.5 million metric tons more soybeans produced this month relative to where we were last month. So back to the soybean balance sheet globally. We already talked about soybean production up 2.5 million tons this month. The other variable I'd point out, global crush, we raised 1.6 million tons, and that is all focused in Paraguay and Brazil, especially Brazil. And it's also, and that's also reflected in strong soybean meal exports to the EU. We made no change in global trade this month, and ending stocks globally up 1.1 million tons. And that is essentially all concentrated in Brazil, given that record large crop there. Now, for the U.S., no changes to the domestic balance sheet. We are aware of there's some potential for more sales to China based on recent statements by the president. As of right now, we believe that higher sales to China would likely be offset by lower sales to other destinations, leaving global trade unchanged. And this month, we also kept the season average price unchanged at $10.20 per bushel.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
2025, I put up the production numbers.
Mark Jackanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board.
This month for 2025, those are now final. So the small changes there are just truing up to official data. And that sets 2025 production estimates as final. For 2026, you see an increase in beef production this month. This reflects the information from the cattle report that was released January 30th. Now, as you might recall, the cattle report showed overall tighter cattle supplies, but it also showed higher supplies of cattle outside feedlots waiting to be placed. So that 190 million pound increase in beef production reflects cattle that are currently being placed in feedlots in the first half of this year. It will become beef in the second half of this year. Pork broilers and turkey, small adjustments there just based on truing up to recent slaughter data. Pork, we're looking at higher production for the first half of the U.S., for the first half of the year. Broilers and turkey, those adjustments are based on just the first quarter of this year. Prices, steer prices up strongly this month. We raised our forecast $4.50 per hundredweight, increased our price forecast for all four quarters of 2026 just based on those tight supplies. Hogs as well, we increased $2.25 per hundredweight, reflecting what we're observing is strong pork demand and also support from those very high beef prices, providing some support to pork demand and hog prices as well. No change in our broiler price forecast this month. Turkey price, we raised 1.3 cents per pound, just reflecting an increase in the first quarter price based on recent data. U.S. meat trade, now for 2025, again, I kept that up, trade data, this is reflecting truing up to trade data through November, just reflecting the recent pace there for the primary species. For 2026, a couple things to note. Imports we raised this month. Imports remain strong, reflecting tight U.S. supplies. Of course, strong demand for continued strong demand for beef. And it also reflects the recent agreement with Argentina to expand their import quota. So all those factors helping to boost the beef import forecast for 2026. Pork exports we raised this month, 50 million pounds. Mainly we're seeing a lot of some good strength, export strength to Western Hemisphere markets, Mexico, Colombia, others in Latin America. And also worth noting, with some African swine fever outbreaks in Spain, that's taking some of that, some of those potential exports from Spain off the market. Providing some increased opportunities for U.S. to be even more competitive in export markets. Broiler export forecast, on the other hand, we reduced 45 million pounds. And again, just focused on recent pace. And in this case, we are seeing a lot of competition from Brazil in the poultry export market.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
We address hypothermia in baby calves.
Coming off a brutal winter storm, Dr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist.
And in weather like this, hypothermia can be a great cause of death loss in newborn calves. And so we kind of work through the nuts and bolts of it and think about what's normal, when we might need to assist, and if we have a calf that needs to be warmed up, how do we actually go about getting that done effectively for the long-term benefit of the calf? On the good news side, in spite of all the weather, if we have got cows that are in good shape, think body condition score 5.5 to 6, those cows have been in a good plane of nutrition during the last trimester of pregnancy, the calves born should be equipped with a layer of brown adipose tissue that serves as a rapidly mobilized energy source, which they're going to burn, use for energy, and it's going to help them to bounce up and nurse quickly. And actually nursing as soon as possible after birth is one of the key things to a baby calf getting off to a good start in good weather or bad, but it particularly lowers their risk of suffering from cold stress or hypothermia. So, if we've got thinner kind of cows, or particularly we see dystocia, prolonged calving, it doesn't happen in a timely fashion. Thinner cows, calves without as much brown adipose tissue, prolonged birth process, all are things that put calves more at risk of not being able to get up and nurse quickly. So, what is normal? Well, when the calf is born, we could use a rectal thermometer to check temperature. If we're concerned, normal should be somewhere between 101.5 and 102.5. If we take that temperature and the calf is below 101, we are at potential risk of hypothermia. We may need to take some measures, at the very least, continue to monitor that calf. We start to see temperatures below 100, we probably need to intervene. If we get a calf rectal temperature below 94 degrees, we've got severe cold stress, internal organs are starting to cool, and we need to take some drastic measures. So, if we need to help, we need to rewarm a calf, let's think about two courses of action, internal and external. Internally, if we can get warm colostrum, high-fat colostrum, up to 10% fat, into that calf with a tube feeder, potentially a bottle, we are taking a method internally that's going to help that calf warm up. Not only that, but that energy is going to be burnt to help that calf create heat internally. So nutrition, energy, fat in the form of colostrum is going to be really key to helping that calf warm. Another thing, and I backtrack just a second, if we're concerned about a calf and don't have a rectal thermometer, if we put a finger or two in that calf's mouth and we don't get a suckling reflex, that is another sign the calf is at risk. Other things that indicate it, if the calf is clumsy, erratic behavior, just listless, we know potentially these are signs of cold stress as well. So, back to internal and external. Internally, get some warm colostrum in the calf. When we say warm, typically think of it at 100 to 102 degrees is about where we want that to be. If we have to resort to external means, whether it is the floorboard of our truck, whether we're going to take that calf and put them in a hot box, if we're going to take them inside and put them under heat lamps, anything like that we can do in a barn, a garage, a tool shed, if we can get that calf out of the elements and a little warmer environment, potentially even resorting to a water bath. That water bath also is something we'd like around 100 to 102 degrees would be ideal. We don't want it too hot. We might cause stress in that calf going the other way.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.